In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of Almighty God is in the house. We must recognize who is here with us. The God of the universe, God of heaven, the Creator, the Almighty God, is here tonight. Praise God. Let's love Him, shall we? Come on, let's love the Lord for a moment. Lift your hands. He is deserving. He is deserving. He is deserving. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Reach over, lay your hand on somebody if it's appropriate. Let's pray for one another right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Increase our faith. We take authority over doubt and unbelief. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's a great privilege, great honor for my wife and I to be here, this great assembly, great church, and to be with Brother and Sister Schumacher. And, you know, we're the same age, actually, just a few months apart. I have to admit, I'm just a little older than your pastor, but not much. But I love this man because he has faith to believe God for anything. And I feel a kindred spirit. And they've been so kind to us, took us out to a wonderful lunch, dinner, and have been so good to us. And so we thank you very much. We highly esteem you, brother. And your pastor is a gift of God to you and to this church and to this city. It's a gift of God. I've said it over and over again through my ministry. I believe that if we ever get to heaven, it's going to be because of a pastor. And so you need a pastor. I need a pastor. And I thank God for the great men of God that God has placed in my life. And I'm so thankful for this great man of God, the shepherd, the angel of this church. Praise God. You may be seated for just a moment. Pakistan. Can you say that with me? Pakistan. It's not Pakistan. It's Pakistan. All right? And to help you understand that, Pak means holy and stan means land. So it's the holy land. All right? Pakistan of the Muslim. So that's where it's got its name. There's something I need to explain to you because the revival that we are witnessing in Pakistan is primarily among the Christian people. There are some people that wonder about that because it seems so difficult even here in this land to try and witness to a Muslim and to see one of them convert. There are some that convert, but it is they're very, very difficult to reach in many ways because they see everything through the eyes of the Holy Quran, which is their holy book. And when you try to explain to them the Bible, they don't understand, they don't believe. And so, but in Pakistan, we have more than 3 million Christians, quote unquote Christians. These are born Christians. So going back 100 years, a little over 100 years, Presbyterian missionaries, Methodist missionaries, went to India. At that time, it was all India. And they had a revival among the Hindu people. And now today, that's a part of the country called Pakistan. There was a Presbyterian missionary by the name of John Hyde. If some of you ever get the chance to read the book called Praying Hyde, that would be very good for you to understand how all of this came about. But this man was tremendously, tremendously used of the Lord back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And there were literally thousands upon thousands of Hindu people, entire tribes, came into what we call Christianity. And John Hyde was tremendously, tremendously used of the Lord, and he got his name because he prayed night and day, night and day, night and day. He would fast a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He died at a very young age, and the doctor said his heart literally exploded. But God used this great man. He did not have the apostolic truth as we understand it. We do believe that he had the Holy Ghost because in his records it is mentioned that many times he was heard saying words that nobody could understand. So we believe that perhaps he was spirit-filled. But now in Pakistan we have these Christians, born Christians. These are descendants of all of these Christians from 100 years ago. And now we have, what, 3-4 generations and about 3 million. So that was a very, very ready and very ripe harvest. They were waiting for this apostolic truth. They were ready for it. You could go anywhere and have 30, 40, 50 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the first year that we were there in Pakistan, I personally witnessed over 2,000 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. This was a ripe, ready harvest. And so today when we talk about 165,000 constituents, these are not all converted Muslims. I want you to understand that, all right? So that's very important for you to understand. I want to give honor to my wife, 56 years. She's traveled with me around the world. And I thank God for my precious wife. Always ready to go. I retired at the end of 2017 from the directorship or the director of multicultural ministries for the United Pentecostal Church. Now, retirement is a word used in the office. It is not a word in my vocabulary, all right? So I tried to retire. I almost went crazy the first few weeks and months. So we got busy, and we're doing everything we can to reach one more soul. And since retirement, I've been blessed and able to minister in 15 different nations of the world. And if we can get through this COVID, we're going to continue to do travel. Thank you for buying the book. That does help with our expenses, our travel expenses. And we thank you for that. I believe that Jesus is coming. I believe that we are right up against the coming of the Lord. Jesus could come this very day. If he don't come today, then I expect he will be here tomorrow. I believe that Jesus is coming very soon. If you're contemplating backsliding, leaving the church, walking away from truth, you've picked a bad time to do it. Jesus is coming, and we must get ready for his coming. Praise God. Would you stand together as we go to God's word? Acts chapter 12 and verse 7. Acts 12 and verse 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Verse 12. And when he, speaking about Peter, had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Say that with me. They were praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now I want you to notice verse 15, the wonderful response of these apostolic people. The miracle is knocking at the door, all right? All they have to do is just open the door. The miracle is there. It's ready to come in. But they said unto her, "Thou art mad." She constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." Still didn't believe it. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many here, you have asked God for something, a miracle. God has answered your prayer. And when the prayer was answered, you had a hard time believing it, that God actually answered your prayer. I wonder why that we even pray if we don't expect God to answer our prayer. Why are we praying if we don't believe that God is hearing our prayer and that he is going to answer our prayer? They were astonished. Going to the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation, but when we get to heaven, we'll probably find out how to pronounce this wonderful brother's name. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. "Behold ye among the heathen and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And God is saying, I'm going to do such a great work that if I would come down there and tell you and let you know what I'm going to do, you could not believe it. It is going to be such a great work. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." In other words, forget about the past. "Behold, I will do a new thing." Now, everybody say now. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I want to speak to you tonight on a simple subject. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. You may be seated. I believe that we have the truth. I believe that this apostolic truth is the way. It is not a way, but it is the way. I'm convinced that we must have faith in the Lord. I'm convinced that we must repent of our sins. We must confess our sins. We must make a complete change in the way we live. I'm convinced that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe that that name is Jesus. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the everlasting Father. He is my Redeemer. He is the Holy One. He is the All-Knowing One. Jesus is the Almighty God. How many believe it tonight? I'm glad we know who Jesus is. Jesus is Jehovah Savior, The name of Jesus is a saving name. All ye do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm glad that I've been buried with him in baptism, and I have come forth in the newness of life. I am convinced of the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is more than just a good feeling. The Holy Ghost is more than just speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost is power. It gives to us power, power. If you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have the Spirit of the one true God living inside of you. It is the Holy Ghost. It is a comforting spirit. It is a strengthening spirit. It is a guiding spirit. It is the spirit of peace, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of godliness. Not only am I convinced of the power of the Holy Ghost, but I am convinced of the miracle working power of God. I believe our God is able to heal any sickness. I believe that our God can heal any disease. I believe that our God can deliver any drug addict. There is not a drug addict that is so addicted that God can't deliver them. There is not a prostitute that is so filthy that God can't clean her up. There is not a son or a daughter that is so lost that God can't find them and God can't sanctify them. There's not a family that is so dysfunctional that God can't clean that mess up. Our God, the God I serve is a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. We're apostolic. What does it mean to be apostolic? When Jesus commissioned the apostles to go out and to heal in his name and to cast out devils in his name, they didn't question. They just went out and did it. When they went out teaching and preaching the gospel, they saw God do some unexplainable things, and they just accepted it. I come to tell somebody tonight that I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today and forever. If Jesus was ever powerful, he is still powerful tonight. If Jesus ever did one single miracle, he is still performing miracles tonight. If Jesus could ever work out one situation, he is able to work out situations tonight. If Jesus ever did one single miracle, he could do miracles tonight. And I believe that if we could somehow just believe it and accept it, that we would see God move and God could change lives. Some months ago in the city of New York, the Metro City superintendent felt directed of the Holy Ghost to call a citywide prayer meeting. So he invited all of the churches in Metro New York City to come together on a Saturday morning for a combined prayer meeting. There was about 300 or so that gathered. They came from all over the city, and they began to pray together. The plan was to dismiss the prayer meeting at noon. But when noon came, there were those that were travailing in prayer, and there were those that were interceding in prayer. And so they let the prayer meeting go on, and it went on, and it went on until about 3 p.m. It was then that God began to speak to them through tongues and interpretation. And God said, because you have prayed, I have spared your city from great disaster. While that prayer meeting was going on, there was a young man from Pakistan that was planting a bomb in Times Square. It never went off. Now, the church will not get credit for that, but I believe that it was because of the prayers of God's people that spared that city from great disaster. I'm telling you, folks, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. Some years ago, I was preaching in the city of Colombo, Sri Lanka. And there was a young Buddhist priest that came into the service, and he came forward when we give the altar call and we begin to pray with him, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name, later became a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church in Sri Lanka. He was a little man, about 4 feet tall, but he was dynamite. And God used him in a tremendous way. He kept coming to me several times after a year and a half. Several times he would come and he would say, Pastor, God has called me to go to the city of Kathuragamba. Kathuragamba. Isn't that an interesting word? Kathuragamba is a sacred city to the Buddhists and to the Hindus. It is on the southern tip of Sri Lanka. There is a river that flows through the city of Kathuragamba. It's the Minik River. And they believe that this water is sacred. And they come and make annual pilgrimage to Kathuragamba, and they bathe in the Minik River. And they believe that this washes away their sins. And then they go into their temples, and they offer sacrifices to their many gods. The Hindus have more than 33 million gods. I don't know how they keep track of them. They have strange-looking gods. But it was to this city that Brother Gunasiri felt God was calling him to go and to preach the gospel. There is no church in that city. There is not even a Roman Catholic church in that city. It is a sacred city. It's kind of like Mecca to the Muslim. And they will not allow Christianity there. But it was to this city that Brother Gunasiri claimed that God had called him to go and preach. So finally, the executive board of our church laid hands on him and commissioned him and his family, his wife, three little children, to go to Kathuragamba to preach. He left. We didn't hear from him for many, many weeks. I became very worried, concerned. What happened to Brother Gunasiri? One day, I was in the headquarters office, and the telephone rang. I picked it up. It was Brother Gunasiri. I could tell that he was really excited. He said, Pastor, can you come to Kathuragamba? I've got 17 people here ready to be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. And he said, one of the men that will be baptized, wants to be baptized, is the highest ranking Hindu priest in the temple. And so Brother Gunasiri kept saying, Pastor, this is a big fish. This is a big fish. I was not able to go, but my assistant went, and they baptized 17 people in Jesus' name in the famous Minik River. First time the waters of the Minik remitted sins, washed away sins. Praise God, in the name of Jesus. So this Hindu priest that was baptized that night, that very same day, they assassinated him. And that was the beginning of persecution against that small fledgling work. When I heard about it, I drove to Kathuragamba. I met with Brother Kunasiri. I begged him. I pleaded with him. I said, you have to leave. You've got to get out of this city. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill your wife. They're going to kill your children. You've got to leave. I'll never forget as he stood there, tears running down his face and dripping off the end of his chin. And he said, Pastor, I cannot leave. God has called me to this city, and I must preach Jesus to my people. So I left. I remember as I looked in my rearview mirror as I drove away, and I could see Brother Gunasiri and his wife and three little children standing out in front of their little house. And as I looked in my mirror, I thought to myself, this may be the last time I get to see them alive. I was so worried about him. But God was doing something. You know, it's interesting, but our God surprises us sometimes, doesn't he? He really does. God was doing something. I didn't see it. I didn't know it. The water supply of that city became contaminated, and people became sick, and there were people dying because they didn't have pure drinking water. And they were searching. The city was searching for water, drinking water, safe water to drink. And they discovered that the only water in the city that was safe to drink was coming from the well in the compound of the United Pentecostal Church. And that well never went dry, Pastor. It never went dry. I've got pictures, hundreds of people coming every day with their buckets drawing water from that well to carry to their houses. It never went dry. God was doing something. God was working miracles. The city government, the council of that city, had a meeting, and they passed a bylaw in that city. And the bylaw says, we will allow only one church in our city, and that's the United Pentecostal Church. One church. One church. It is a law. It is a law in that city. I was asking just recently our missionary there, I said, is that still a law? And they said, yes, it's still a law in Kathuragamba. One church. It's an apostolic church. It's a Jesus name church. It's a Holy Ghost speaking in tongues church. It's a miracle revival church. I'm telling you, if God can raise up a church in a city like that, he can raise up a church anywhere in this world. Anywhere in this world. Praise God. In Mark chapter 6, we have Jesus returning to his hometown, Nazareth. When Jesus got there, he went to the synagogue. He began to teach, and they were really surprised with his teaching. They knew something strange was going on, but it wasn't what they had expected. And it certainly wasn't what they ever thought possible. And it made them feel very uncomfortable because Jesus began to challenge the boundaries of the world in which they lived. And they said, we know this guy. We've watched him grow up. He's the carpenter's son down the street. That's who he is. What right does he have to come here and teach us like this? They wouldn't hear his words. He wanted to do so much more, but he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. They refused to believe. The Bible says that all he could do was a few miracles. That's all. And Jesus was upset with these folks. He said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own relatives. Jesus was saying, I can do so much more if you would let me. If you would just let me. But the Bible says he couldn't do it. But Jesus didn't stop. He left Nazareth and he walked down the road about 5 miles to a little town called Capernaum. I'm saying tonight to Jesus, Jesus, don't leave. Don't leave here. Don't go somewhere else. We want you here. We need you here. You are welcome here. We need you here in this place. He didn't stop. He walked into Capernaum. He started preaching and teaching, and folks gathered around, and all they could say was, wow, we've never heard anything like this in all of our lives. And they got excited. They were seeing things that they had never seen before. We don't read that in Capernaum they said, oh, this is the boy from up the road. All they could say was, wow. Awesome. Incredible. The Bible said that when the sun was going down, they brought every sick person they could. Every demon-possessed person they could. Every depressed person they could. They brought them all to Jesus. And that same Jesus put his hands on every one of them. And the Bible says he healed them, everyone. He healed them, everyone. Do you know what that means? Nobody went home sick that night. Nobody went home oppressed that night. Nobody went home with family problems. Nobody went home discouraged. It was the most incredible night in the history of Capernaum. And so I've come to tell you tonight that it was the same Jesus. It was the same Jesus that was in Nazareth. He couldn't do much in Nazareth, but in Capernaum, he was able to heal every sick person. The same power, the same potential, the same love, the same grace, the same mercy, the same gospel. Everything was the same except their level of expectation. There's power in your level of expectation. What have you come into this sanctuary tonight believing God is going to do for you? Did you come into the sanctuary tonight expecting to see the miracle worker? The deliverer. This world, you know, is fine with calling in a miracle after it happens, but we need to start believing God for miracles before they happen. And if we will do that, the miracles will come. I say the miracles will come. I believe with all of my heart that from the services today, this morning, that there will be many reports coming in to this wonderful pastor of things that God did in the lives of and families of people in this church. Good reports, because God did a great work in our midst. It is easy for us to smile about a miracle after it happens, but we have to believe God for a miracle before it happens. So you know what we need? We need faith. I am praying that the spirit of faith would be loosed in this sanctuary tonight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We must have faith. I say we must have faith. Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God, All things are possible. We cannot forget the miraculous possibilities of our great God. We need to grab hold of the things that the Word of God has promised to us. The Word of God has promised the salvation of our loved ones. The Word of God has promised healing for our bodies, restoration of our backsliders, unity of our families, protection of the blood of Jesus over our children. Before our kids leave in the morning to go to school, parents, lay your hands on those kids. Pray over those kids. Plead the blood of Jesus over your children. We are living in a world that's gone crazy. We are living in a time it is not safe even for our kids to go to school. But the blood of Jesus, the powerful blood of Jesus, is able. Praise God. Let's love the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you and I worship you. I love you and I worship you. Hallelujah. I don't care what has happened in the past. I don't care how long things have taken in the past. I don't care whether we've ever seen it in the past. The Word of God says that God is getting ready to do a new thing. A new thing in our midst, that we have never seen anything like it before. There's a revival, and I feel it tonight. There's a revival like this church has never witnessed before. It is a revival. We are living in the time of harvest. If we are ever going to see revival, Pastor, it's got to be now. If we're ever going to see harvest, it's got to be now. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Forget about the past, Isaiah said. And I'm saying to the Lord tonight, come on, Jesus. Let it spring forth in this church tonight. Let it spring forth tonight. Come on, Lord. Now, let it now come forth in this church. It is a new thing. God wants to do a new thing. And if we're ever going to see that new thing that God desires to do, I believe that it is imperative that we remove all limitations from our God. We must realize that God wants to do something that we cannot even ask or think. God is ready. God is willing. God is able to blow our minds. We've got to open the door. Come on. We have to open the door and allow the miracle to come in. The miracle is knocking at the door. Open the door. Open the door. And allow the miracle to come in. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I would like to say tonight that the man that tapped me on the shoulders, the pastor already mentioned, I believe it was an angel. We never saw him again, never saw him again. I don't know who that man was, but I believe that it was an angel that God sent all the way down from glory to touch my boy. We are living in a time when we're going to see much more angelic activity. You hear me? We're going to see more angelic activity than we have ever seen before. As we get close to the coming of the Lord, we can expect it to happen. Praise God. Some years ago, and I have to be very careful how I tell this, I was called. We were actually in a prayer meeting. God began to speak to us through tongues and interpretation. And God gave to us the name of a city in Pakistan. God said, go to that city and preach my word. I have people in that city. And when I heard the name of the city, I began to argue with God. I said, God, I cannot go there. And so I thought I had it all figured out. I would just send some of our national brethren. And while I was thinking about all of this, and I was saying, God, I'm not going, the Lord began to speak again, and he said, why are you afraid? Do you not understand that I am God? Do you not understand that if I call you, I will go with you? I will stand by your side. Do not be afraid. He kept saying, go, go, three times, go. Do not be afraid. It's in a tribal area, northwestern Pakistan, very close to the border with Afghanistan. We went in there to preach the gospel. I'll never forget the first night. There was about 300 people that came, many of them non-Christian. And I'm not a brave person. You can look at me, right? No, I'm not brave. I'm not a brave person, but I didn't know what to do. I was afraid. What I was seeing there was frightening. These are warriors. These are people that are radical. And so I didn't know exactly what to do. I remember I picked up my guitar and I began to play the guitar and I began to sing. Now, I don't know if I'm a good singer or not, but they thought it was great, all right? And they were all having a wonderful time, clapping their hands. This guy's come all the way from America to sing for us. And finally, I sang because I was afraid to preach. I remember finally got enough courage to lay my guitar down and pick up my Bible, and I began to read from the Bible. I read about one verse of Scripture, and there was a guy that jumped up and began to shout at me, and he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, you cannot preach here Christianity. I didn't know what to do. I had a Pakistani pastor with me, Brother Javed John. Now, Javed was one of these guys that could find something funny about every situation, okay? He really could. But he didn't find this funny. He slipped up beside me, whispered in my ear, and he said, let's run. I said, thanks a lot. I said, before we run, let's pray, all right? So we began to pray. I had an experience there I'll never forget. I think of 57 years of preaching, this was the experience, the greatest experience I ever had. I felt the hand of the Lord on top of my head. I didn't know what it was at the time. I was shaking, I was trembling, and then I heard the voice of God. And God said, if you will pray for the sick, I will perform many miracles, and I will reveal myself to these people. I don't know if anybody else heard it, but I heard it was like an audible voice. The Lord said, if you'll pray for the sick. So I made the announcement. Is anybody sick? I discovered they're all sick, okay? Man, they all raised their hands and said, I'm sick. I said, if you will come down here and allow me to pray for you in the name of my God, Jesus, you'll be healed. Everything went quiet. After a little bit, a couple of young men got a hold of an elderly lady that was blind, and they began to lead her down to the front. I remember as I reached my hand out and laid it on her head, she was trembling all over. All I said was, in the name of Jesus, heal these blinded eyes. That little lady began to jump up and down and shout, I can see. I can see. When this happened, all 300 people jumped up, come running down to the front, got a hold of the little lady, and they said, woman, what happened? She said, I don't know what happened. All I know is that when I came here, I couldn't see, but now I can see. Now I can see. By this time, Brother Javade is feeling stronger, much stronger in the Holy Ghost. He's going all over the place laying hands on everybody. God is my witness. We witnessed 3 blinded people instantly healed, one right after the other. God was performing miracles before the eyes of these unbelievers. Instead of shouting at us and saying, you cannot preach here, they sat down. They began to listen as I began to tell them about Jesus and preach to them the gospel. God raised up a church in that city. I was there 3 days. We had over 100 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. God raised up a church in that city. That church is there tonight. It's a very strong work. And not only that, but they have started many other churches in that area, all along the border with Afghanistan. Again, I want to tell you, if God can raise up a church in a place like that, God can raise up a church anywhere in this world. I believe it's revival time. I believe it's harvest time. God is willing. God is ready. Let's stand. I want you to take a few moments as you stand. And I want you to consider and think about those things that you have been praying about. What is it you need? And what is it that you expect from our God tonight? Perhaps you've been praying about a financial problem. Perhaps you've been praying about a family member. You've prayed and you've believed. Now it's time to open the door and allow the miracle to come in. I believe there are miracles being born here today. The devil tries to steal our faith. He has stolen our faith long enough. It is time for us to actually believe it is going to happen. It can happen. I say it can happen. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. We need to come into the church with our hands lifted. We need to believe that God is going to do great work, great miracles in our midst. God is responding to your prayers. God is responding to your faith. He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. How many need a miracle tonight? I know this morning we prayed for miracles. I believe we just need to start thanking God for the miracles. We need to just start praising him. Come on, let's praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hataya Oshanda. The last time I was in Pakistan, I saw a young man. And the pastor began to tell me the story. Said his mother, she had 5 or 6 miscarriages, stillborn babies. They came into the church. This family came in and was baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost. And they wanted to have children. This mother became pregnant again. And they were praying and praying and praying, God, give us, let this baby be well. Let this baby be born well. And so it came time for delivery. And they were on their way to the hospital on the back of an ox cart, if you can believe that. On the way to the hospital, the baby was born, and it was also born, stillborn. They turned the ox cart around, went back to their house. The mother was weeping, and she was praying and saying, God, I thought that you would give me this baby. I thought that you would allow this child to be well and to be born and so on. And the husband, together with some of the relatives, went off to the cemetery to prepare a grave for this baby. And while they were at the cemetery, this mother's holding this child in her arms. And she's crying and she's praying. And while she was praying, suddenly the child coughed. The child had been dead for 4 hours. It was documented. The child coughed, and then it began to cry. God put life in that child. Because of the faith of a little Pakistani lady that was so desperate. My God is the same right here. He is not going to do something there or some other part of the world that he will not do right here in Racine. He is as much concerned about you as he is concerned about anyone else in this world. I just feel that if you would step out into the aisle and walk down with both hands lifted and say, Jesus, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I believe the miracle is right here. Open the door right now. Just open the door. Shatalaba Shakaya. Hallelujah. That's it. Faith. I feel faith rising here. I feel faith rising in this house. Jesus Christ is here. Ashalabakuriandasha. Just begin to worship him. Worship him. Praise him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. By the power, by the authority of the Word of God. Ishatalabashakaya. In the mighty name of our God, Jesus.